Recently, I had the pleasure to sit down with the wonderful rock and roll singer-songwriter, Kelsey Carter, fresh off the release of her debut album, Missing Person. Carter dishes on everything from her favorite songs off the album, to her battle with anxiety, to what's coming next for her. I hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Tessa, yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, babe. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for agreeing to interview with me.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm so hyped. I remember getting your video for the fan video.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, Tessa, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
no.
When you messaged me, I was like, oh, yeah, alternative rock station. She said that in her little video.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Congratulations on the release of Missing Person. How are you doing and, like, feeling with all of that?
Honestly, I'm buzzing. Like, usually after a release, I do doubt myself and get kind of, like, insecure about stuff. Mm-hmm. But after the album came out, honestly, I felt nothing but, like, great gratitude and pride, and yeah, I feel amazing.
So since it's been 2 weeks since it's been released, what has been like the most exciting aspect for you, would you say?
Rolling Stone writing about God Knows was definitely a huge one, because that was the first song I wrote on the record, and a big dream of mine has been to get into Rolling Stone. So that was really cool. Yeah, and I don't know, just kind of like feeling out, like hearing what fans think of it, because at the end of the day, that's why I do this, you know, it's to affect people but through my music, and it seems like it's resonating quite well.
I was going to say, you have the level of fan engagement that you have is, like, I feel like relatively unmatched compared to other artists. What was, like, your inspiration for doing, like, the fan video and just, like, how you choose to interact with your fans?
Oh, I love that you said that. That means so much to me. So before I had fans, it was, like, it was about my family. I was really, like, I was trouble when I was a kid. So at first it was like, oh, I want to give back to my family and make a life for them. And I always said I was going to leave home and make this happen. And I have to now, you know. And then it became like, oh, I want to be rich and I want to be known. And then when I started to get fans, I was like, this is like my purpose, because the relationship that I started to like have with fans was so special to me and something I hadn't really experienced before. And I realized that, like, I can't do what I do without fans, and fans don't get, you know, music from me without me making it. And I realized that it's this like very unique kind of relationship that you have with fans, and they lift me up when I'm down, and hopefully from what I know, my music helps lift them up when they're down. And I don't know, it just kind of like became really important to me to do this for them. And I think because I'm kind of a natural born leader, there was this responsibility that I feel like I have now to do that in like a grander scale, on like a grander scale, because not everyone has that kind of spirit in them. And if I can inspire someone to kind of, you know, do something that they maybe are too afraid to, then I think I've done my job.
So you mentioned that you started for your family. What was their response to Missing Person?
Both my parents are just like bursting with pride, obviously. But my dad wishes the album cover didn't have blood all over it on my head. Because, I'm his little girl at the end of the day. But other than that, I mean, they're loving it. They like the songs that are more like vocal showing, rather than like rock and roll. You know, my parents aren't necessarily rock fans, so they like to hear my voice.
So what led you into the rock genre then?
I'd always kind of been, people have always like thought that's what I did, just from like who I am as a person. And I guess I didn't really know where I fit in the music industry, because it wasn't something that I had like always aspired to do. I wanted to be an actor more than anything. However, I've always kind of been this like daring, you know, bold type of kid. And when I decided to dive headfirst into music, when I realized that I was good at music and that was my calling, it was kind of like experimenting on where I fit. And when you're like a young foreign girl in the industry, you just kind of listen to people and what that think they know better than you. And I always had this like feeling in my gut, like I think rock music is like, it's what I love, it's what I want to do. But you get told so many times, well, rock is dead, one. Two, a female can't do rock. So it was like, you hear that enough times as like a young girl, you believe it, you know? And everyone was trying to kind of make me the next Amy Winehouse. I get it. Like, I'm a little white Jewish girl with an accent that grew up on jazz music, you know? So I get why people did that, but I'm like, I'm not Amy Winehouse, I'm Kelsey. So I don't want to be like, let's think of something new. And it was just kind of like trial and error. And I just never kind of, never fully felt like myself until I went through this like insane kind of cathartic, it was depression essentially, but I came out the other end of it, like discovering myself and like super curious about myself. And I was like, I'm going to make rock music. That's what I want to do. I come from musical theater, you know, theater was my life growing up. So I was like, I want to pair like punk rock with musical theater. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, at least I'm like doing what feels right. But anyway, it's working. So sick.
I would say so. That was, and I love the fact you mentioned, like, I think it's like BS that people say females can't do rock, but I was going to ask, cause like it is a male dominated genre. And so how has it been like that element of like being a woman in the rock industry?
It's never like even been a thought in my mind. I've always kind of been the girl in the boys club. You know, I was always a tomboy growing up, and yeah, I don't know. I was kind of like a tomboy by day and then put all this makeup on and was on stage by night. And it never really occurred. It's never been a challenge for me in the sense of like, oh, I can't do that. It's just, you listen to people and the subconscious mind was like, oh, okay, I guess girls can't do that. But the second I decided to, I haven't looked back. Like there's no, the fact that there's more boys doesn't bother me at all. It's just a challenge.
Another thing that I love about the album is that you talk very candidly about like anxiety and things like that. And I think that's something that a lot of artists don't really do. And so like, what was it like for you to include that? And like, why did you choose to include that in the?
I guess like when you're writing music, a lot of the time, anyway, for me with this album, I wasn't like, and now we're going to sit down and write an album, which is something I do want to do for my next album. But for this album, there was none of that. There was no organization. So I was just writing about how I felt and things I was going through. And I deal with a lot of anxiety. I just this morning, like crippling anxiety. And I think that I'm very lucky because I have a creative outlet to channel that stuff into. You know, I don't have a drug addiction and I don't have a therapist. Like, you know, there are things that people deal with everything different ways. And luckily I have music to channel that stuff into, but and then if the music turns out good, hopefully you release it to the world. And that's just essentially what happened with a lot of these songs. It was just like, oh, I wrote about how I felt and I think it's good. So we should now put it into the world. And I want to always kind of, you know, I think there's a fine line between privacy and like how much you should talk about and how much you shouldn't, just because on a privacy level. But something like anxiety and depression, it's such a huge thing in so many of our lives. And it just goes back to like, I didn't sign up to be a role model. I never wanted that. But when you're in the public eye, you kind of take on the responsibility of you're going to affect people one way or another. And if I can control just a little bit of how I can affect people, I will. And I think that relating to people on that front, anxiety and depression, it's like I have to be open about the fact that I do suffer from it, because it makes others feel like they can get through it. And because such an objective of mine is to make people feel empowered, it's like that's a perfect way to do it. And it also like helps me, you know. My dad always says when I'm going through something, he's like, just know that there are so many others that are going through it, and that makes you feel less alone, you know. So yeah.
That's so sweet. What would you say your favorite like track is on the album, or your favorite one to like that you made?
Very, very, very proud of Liquor Store and Mars. Liquor Store and God Knows, I'm very proud of, just because those two songs I wrote so much of. Like you're in a session with people. It's like some songs you might write more of, some songs you might write less of, or you're less a part of the production process, or let you know. And those two songs, I was a part of every process. I wrote like all the lyrics, and it's so, they're just very true to me, and I don't know, I'm very proud of them. And I'm not a mathematical person, but if I was to look at music in a mathematical sense, I think that Liquor Store on Mars is like a mathematically correct song. So, that one, yeah,
that was, I remember the first time, because I saw you open for the Struts, and that's how I was like exposed to you, and that was the one that really stood out to me, and I was so bummed when it wasn't like released to like listen to yet, like on, yeah, like Spotify and everything, and yeah, so that was, and like the intro, that the part that you, the interlude poem that you include. So what was the choice to like include the poem on the album along with Liquor Store?
So we'd written Liquor Store like months before, and then I was still kind of going through, you know, my turmoil at the time, and I went to, so basically the narrative in the poem, it actually happened. I was sitting at a coffee shop and this little old man named Jimmy came and sat next to me, and it was a really weird kind of obscure experience because I was just going through it. I was just sitting there smoking a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee, crying behind my sunglasses. And he kind of asked what was wrong. And it basically just everything that happens in the poem, this little old man and I, it was an exchange between me and this little man. And I went into the studio and just said to Michael, oh, you gotta tell you what just happened to me at the coffee shop. And he was like, let's write about it. So then we wrote it as a poem. And we realized how perfectly it fit going into Liquor Store. And, you know, going back to me wanting to marry rock music with theater, I feel like it's a very theatrical kind of movie-like thing to do, especially like the way that I labeled it on the album is how, I don't know if you've ever seen a script, like a movie script, but that's how they like, you write a script. You write like, oh, interior, kitchen, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know? So I wanted to, and Catch Me If You Can is right before that. And Catch Me If You Can is all about me, you know, ending my relationship. So I wanted it to be kind of like a story that went from one to the other.
What song was the one that was most difficult to write or like create?
Villain.
Why is that?
By far. I can't even like talk about Villain without crying. Like it gets me so upset. Sorry. I have kind of, in a lot of my life, I've kind of played the part of the bad guy in different situations. You know, I've always been kind of like the edgiest one in any group of friends, or the bad one in a relationship, just because I tend to go for very good. I fall in love with like goodness, you know, like I've always just liked good boys and good people, which kind of makes me seen as like the bad one in the relationship. And in my relationship that I was in, it was just like that. And not because he had made me feel like, not like he'd pointed any fingers, but I kind of just accepted that role of like, oh, you're the good one and I'm the bad one. And it kind of carried over into the breakup. And I felt like I had destroyed him. And it was just kind of like when you tell yourself or you hear it enough times that you are something, you just start to believe it. So our failed relationship, I just kind of like put my hands up and was like, all right, well, if this isn't going to be a two-way street, I guess I'll just take the blame for it. Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of about me accepting the role of the villain in certain situations.
Do you still feel the need to like accept yourself in that role, like present day, or?
Sorry, I'm so emotional today.
Take your time.
Sorry. Yeah. Can you give me a hug? Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine, babe. It's been a hard day. This is Bianca, by the way.
Hi, Bianca. So wait, can we explain who Bianca is?
Bianca is one of my best friends, but she's like my little sister. And we met through during the Harry time. But she's like, yeah, she works with me and she's just, yeah. But no, that's very, yes. The biggest thing in my life is I have not been able to forgive myself, which is why I just accept the role in my head as the villain, which is like something I'm working on. So when you asked that, I was like triggered. Anyway, so rock and roll, yeah?
What would you say is the most rock and roll track on Missing Person? Or the one that makes you feel like the most rock and roll?
If I need to solve this problem right now that I'm feeling, right? Mm-hmm. I put on Love Me or Hate Me for sure. But I think that Goodness Gracious is pretty rock and roll. I think that's a pretty epic video. Sorry. Well, there is an epic video. I think the song is, in general, is just like pretty cool and hardcore. It's really great, like live. When we finally get to perform it live, it's going to be sick because it's such a like electric moment, like in person in the set. Mm-hmm. So,
how was the concert? Because I know you did a concert right after the debut of the album. How did that go, and how did that feel for you?
I hated it. I'm not gonna lie. It was just like, you know, when you're like a live artist and you like, I literally get turned on when I'm on stage. It's like my favorite thing. I love that goes back to connecting with fans and, you know, my whole life I've been on stage, whether it's for singing or not, I've always been on the stage. So it's always been kind of like a very comforting place for me. But it was very strange to do it in front of no one. I felt like I was almost like, you know, when you're in school and you're in like plays and shit, I don't know if you did that, but I did. And I felt like I was in like a dress rehearsal at school. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it didn't quite feel like a performance to me. But I'll take what I can get, Tessa, because I don't know when we're going to be on stage again. It just wasn't the same.
No, I totally get that. It's like talking into the void when there's like no one really actually in front of you.
Completely. And like, I guess I'm like a stand-up comedian in this way. I love like the interaction between fans and like talking to, like feeding off, you know, fans. It's like my favorite. Like, we're in it together. I want to experience them as much as they're there to experience me. So yeah, I'm definitely having withdrawals for sure.
I think that craving for interaction is what's going to get us like through COVID. Like, there's no way we're not going to get back there, or else, yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. They're unmatched.
Yeah, I agree.
So with your theater background, is there like a specific play or production that really like just resonated with you or like inspires you to like to this day? In like your music and everything?
Probably my favorite musical is Annie. And I auditioned for Annie a lot and I never got her. And I think the biggest thing was because I wasn't a confident singer as a kid. I wasn't like your typical, like, you know, you see so many theater kids and they're just like the most like outgoing, you know, look at me. And I was just not like that. I wanted to act, but singing was just a part of it. So I think with a role like Annie, like singing was such a massive part of it. And I was never cast as it. However, my goal now as an adult is to one day get cast as Miss Hannigan. I don't know if you've ever seen Annie, mm-hmm. but I reckon the reason I never got Annie was because I'm meant to get Miss Hannigan. So one day.
Destined but, for something else.
Yeah, but Broadway is 100% something I want to do. My agent's like, Kels, let's just focus on the music and the Broadway will come after. I'm like, okay, cool.
So what would you say, all encompassing, what would be your dream? Like, would that be Miss Hannigan or what would be your dream? I guess, what's your like career goal?
I want to do like kind of what Lady Gaga's doing or like Jared Leto, where they're doing films and making albums. Like at the end of the day, a perfect year for me would be, you know, making movies, whether I'm directing or acting, because directing is a huge thing I want to do, probably more so when I'm older. But directing and acting in films, touring the world constantly, making music, connecting with fans, and being with the people that I love.
So I think my last question for you is, overall, after just like, what is the message that you want your listeners and fans to get after Missing Person? Like the big takeaway you'd want them to walk away with?
I want them to feel equal parts vulnerable and badass at the same time, because I think that you can be both. I don't think you have to be one thing. And I think that that's something that I try to show in my music and in my who I am, is that like, yeah, I am this like, I'm this edgy girl, but I'm also like completely soft and mushy and I cry every fucking day. And, you know, it's like, and that's okay to be both things. So, yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much again for like agreeing to do this. I like freaked out when you like responded. I was like super excited. I've been a fan for so long. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, it means the world.
So thank you so much. Cool. Have a good rest of your day.
I appreciate it. Bye, Tessa.